We continue now with preparation for death and the chapter on man after death. The second point, the body in the grave. Behold then, O my God, to what my body, by which I have so much offended thee, must be reduced, to worms and rottenness. This does not afflict me. On the contrary, I rejoice that this flesh of mine, which has made me lose thee, my sovereign good, will one day rot and be consumed. What grieves me is that to indulge in these wretched pleasures, I have given so much displeasure to thee. But I will not despair of thy mercy. Thou hast waited for me in order to pardon me. The Lord waiteth that he may have mercy on you. Thou wilt forgive me if I repent. O infinite goodness, I repent with my whole heart of having despised thee. I will say with St. Catherine of Genoa, my Jesus, no more sins, no more sins. I will no longer abuse thy patience. O my crucified love, I will not wait till the confessor places the crucifix in my hands at the hour of death. From this moment I embrace thee. From this moment I recommend my soul to thee. Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. My soul has been so many years in the world and has not loved thee. Give me light and strength to love thee during the remainder of my life. I will not wait to love thee at the hour of death. From this moment I love thee, I embrace thee, and unite myself to thee, and I promise nevermore to depart from thee. O most holy Virgin, bind me to Jesus Christ, and obtain for me the grace never to lose him more. The third point, let us labor to save our souls. My brother, in this picture of death, behold yourself and what you must one day become. Remember that dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Consider that in a few years, and perhaps in a few months or days, you will become rottenness and worms. By this thought, Job became a saint. I have said to rottenness, thou art my father, to worms, my mother, and my sister. All must end, and if after death you lose your soul, all will be lost for you. Consider yourself already dead, says St. Lawrence Justinian, since you know that you must necessarily die. If you were already dead, what would you not desire to have done? Now that you have life, reflect that you will one day be among the dead. St. Bonaventure says that to guide the vessel safely, the pilot must remain at the helm, and in like manner, to lead a good life, a man should always imagine himself at the hour of death. Says St. Bernard, look to the sins of your youth and be covered with shame. Remember the sins of manhood and weep. Look to the present disorders of your life, tremble, and hasten to apply a remedy. When St. Camillus de Lellis saw the graves of the dead, he said within himself, if these return to life, what would they not do for eternal glory? And what do I do for my soul who have time? This the saint said through humility. But, my brother, you perhaps have reason to fear that you are the fruitless fig tree of which the Lord said, behold, for these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. You have been in this world for more than 3 years. What fruit have you produced? Remember, says St. Bernard, that the Lord seeks not only flowers, but fruits. That is, not only good desires and resolutions, but also holy works. Learn then to profit of the time which God in his mercy gives you. Do not wait until you desire time to do good, when the time shall be no more. Do not wait till you are told, time shall be no longer, depart. The time for leaving this world has arrived. What is done, is done. Affections and prayers. Behold me, O my God, I am that tree which deserved for so many years to hear from thee. Cut it down, why cumbereth it to the ground? Yes, for so many years during which I've been in the world, I have brought forth no other fruit than the briars and the thorns of sin. But, O Lord, thou dost not wish that I despair. Thou hast said to all that he who seeks thee shall find thee. Seek, and you shall find. I seek thee, O my God, and wish for thy grace. For all the offenses I have offered to thee, I am sorry with my whole heart. I would wish to die of sorrow for them. Hitherto I have fled from thee, but now I prefer thy friendship to the possession of all the kingdoms of the earth. I will no longer resist thy invitations. Dost thou wish me to be all thine? I give thee my whole being without reserve. Thou gavest thyself entirely to me on the cross. I give myself entirely to thee. Thou hast said, if you shall ask me anything in my name, that I will do. My Jesus, trusting in this great promise, I ask in thy name and through thy merits, thy grace and thy love. Grant that thy grace and thy holy love may abound in my soul, in which sin has abounded. I thank thee for having given me grace to make this petition by inspiring the prayer. Thou showest that thou dost intend to hear it. Hear me, O my Jesus. Give me a great love for thee. Give me a great desire to please thee, and give me strength to do thy will. O Mary, my great advocate, do thou also listen to my cry and pray to Jesus for me. Consideration 2. With death all ends. An end is come, the end is come. First point, death deprives us of everything. By worldlings, they only are esteemed happy who enjoy the pleasures, the riches, and the pomps of this world. But death puts an end to all these earthly goods. For what is your life? It is a vapor which appeareth for a little while. The vapors exhaled from the earth, when raised in the air and clothed with light by the sun, make a splendid appearance. But how long does their splendor last? It vanishes before the first blast of the wind. Behold that nobleman. Today he is courted, feared, and almost adored. Tomorrow he is dead, despised, reviled, and trampled upon. At death, we must leave all things. The brother of that great servant of God, Thomas a Kempis, took delight in speaking of a beautiful house which he had built for himself. A friend told him that it had one great defect. What is it? Said he. It is, answered the other, that you have made a door in it. What? Rejoined the brother of a Kempis. Is a door a defect? Yes, answered the friend, for through this door you must be one day carried dead, and must leave the house and all things. Death, in fine, strips man of all the goods of this world. Oh, what a spectacle to behold a prince banished from his palace, never more to return to it, and to see others take possession of his furniture, of his money, and of all his other goods. The servants leave him in the grave with a garment scarcely sufficient to cover his body. There's no longer anyone to esteem or flatter him, no longer anyone to attend to his commands. Saladin, who had acquired many kingdoms in Asia, gave directions at death that when his body should be carried to the place of burial, a person should go before, holding his winding sheet suspended from a pole, and crying aloud, "This is all that Saladin brings with him to the grave." When the body of the prince is laid in the grave, his flesh drops off, and behold, his skeleton can no longer be distinguished from others. Contemplate, said St. Basil, the sepulchres of the dead, and see if you can distinguish who has been a servant and who has been a master. Diogenes was one day seen by Alexander the Great, seeking with great anxiety for something among the bones of the dead. Alexander asked him what he was in search of. I am looking, replied Diogenes, for the head of Philip, your father. I'm not able to distinguish it. If you can find it, show it to me. Men, says Seneca, are born unequal, but after death, all are equal. And Horace says that death brings down the scepter to the level of the spade. In a word, when death comes, the end comes. All ends. We leave all things. And of all that we possess in this world, we bring nothing to the grave. Affections and prayers. My Lord, since thou givest me light to know that whatever the world esteems is smoke and folly, grant me strength to detach my heart from earthly goods before death separates me from them. Miserable that I have been, how often, for the miserable pleasures and goods of this earth, have I offended and lost thee, who art an infinite good. O my Jesus, my heavenly physician, cast thine eyes on my poor soul. Look at the many wounds which I have inflicted on it by my sins, and have pity on me. If thou wishest, thou canst make me clean. I know that thou art able and willing to heal me. But in order to heal me, thou wishest me to repent of the injuries which I have committed against thee. I am sorry for them from the bottom of my heart. Heal me, then, now that it is in thy power to heal me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. I have forgotten thee, but thou hast not forgotten me. And now thou makest me feel that thou wilt even forget the injuries I've done thee if I detest them. But if the wicked do penance, I will not remember all his iniquities. Behold, I detest my sins. I hate them above all things. Forget then, O my Redeemer, all the displeasures I've given thee. For the future, I will lose things, even life, rather than forfeit thy grace. And what can all the goods of this earth profit me without thy grace? Ah, assist me. Thou knowest my weakness. Hell will not cease to tempt me. It already prepares 1,000 attacks to make me again its slave. No, my Jesus, do not abandon me. I wish to be henceforth the slave of thy love. Thou art my only Lord. Thou hast created and redeemed me. Thou hast loved me more than all others. Thou alone hast merited my love. Thee alone do I wish to love. Second point, glory and power on the deathbed. At the hour of death, Philip II, King of Spain, called his son, and throwing off his royal robe, uncovered his breast, which had been eaten away by worms, and said to him, Prince, behold how we die. See how all the grandeur of this world ends. Theodoret has truly said that death fears not riches, nor satellites, nor sovereigns, and that from princes as well as vassals, rottenness and corruption flow. Thus the dead, though they be princes, bring nothing with them to the grave. All their glory remains on the bed on which they expire. When he shall die, he shall take nothing away, nor shall his glory descend with him. Saint Antonine relates that after the death of Alexander the Great, a certain philosopher exclaimed, Behold, the man who yesterday trampled on the earth is now buried in the earth. Yesterday, the whole earth was not sufficient for him, and now he is content with 7 palms. Yesterday, he led his armies through the earth, and now he is carried by a few porters to the grave. But it is better to listen to the words of God. Why, says the Holy Ghost, is earth and ashes proud? O man, do you not see that you are dust and ashes? Why are you proud? Why do you spend so many thoughts and so many years of life in seeking worldly greatness? Death will come, and then all your greatness and all your projects will be at an end. In that day, says David, all their thoughts shall perish. Oh, how much more happy was the death of St. Paul the hermit, who lived 60 years shut up in a cave, than the death of Nero, the emperor of Rome. How much more happy was the death of St. Felix, a Capuchin lay brother, than that of Henry VIII, who lived in the midst of royal magnificence, but at the same time at enmity with God. But we must remember that to secure a happy death, the saints have abandoned all things. They have left their country, they have renounced the delights and the hopes which the world held out to them, and have embraced a life of poverty and contempt. But how can worldlings, living in the midst of sins, in the midst of earthly pleasures and dangerous occasions, expect a happy death? God warns sinners that at death they shall seek and shall not find him. He tells us that at the hour of death shall be the time not of mercy, but of vengeance. I will repay them in due time. Reason tells us the same. For at death men of the world shall find their understanding weak and darkened, and their heart hardened by the bad habits which they have contracted. Their temptations will then be more violent. How can they resist at death who were almost always accustomed to yield to temptations during life and to be conquered by them? To change their heart, a most powerful grace would be then necessary. But is God obliged to give them such a grace? Have they merited such a grace by the scandalous and disorderly life which they've led? And on that last hour depends their happiness or misery for eternity. How is it possible that he who reflects on this and believes the truths of faith does not leave all to give himself to God, who will judge us all according to our works? Affections and prayers. Ah, Lord, how many nights have I slept in enmity with thee? O God, in what a miserable state was my soul during that time. It was hated by thee and wished to be hated by thee. I was condemned to hell. There was nothing wanting but the execution of the sentence. But thou, my God, hast never ceased to seek after me and to invite me to pardon. But who can assure me that thou hast pardoned me? Must I, O my Jesus, live in this uncertainty till thou judgest me? But the sorrow which I feel for having offended thee, my desire to love thee, and still more thy passion, O my beloved Redeemer, make me hope that thy grace dwells in my soul. I am sorry for having offended thee, O Sovereign Good, and I love thee above all things. I resolve to forfeit everything rather than lose thy grace and thy love. Thou wishest that the heart which seeks thee should be full of joy. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Lord, I detest all the injuries I have offered to thee. Give me courage and confidence. Do not upbraid me with my ingratitude, for I know myself, know and detest it. Thou hast said that thou wilt not the death of a sinner, but that he be converted and live. Yes, my God, I leave all things and turn to thee. I seek thee, I desire thee, I love thee above all things. Give me thy love, I ask nothing else. O Mary, thou, after Jesus, art my hope. Obtain for me holy perseverance. Third point, let us hasten to give ourselves to God. David calls the happiness of this life a dream of one who awakens from sleep. In explaining these words, a certain author says, "The goods of this world appear great, but they are nothing, like a dream which lasts but a little and afterward vanishes. They are enjoyed but a short time." The thought that with death all ends made St. Francis Borgia resolve to give himself entirely to God. The saint was obliged to accompany the dead body of the Empress Isabella to Granada. When the coffin was opened, her appearance was so horrible and the smell so intolerable that all ran away. But St. Francis remained to contemplate in the dead body of his sovereign the vanity of the world, and looking at it, he exclaimed, "Art thou then my Empress? Are you the queen before whom so many bent their knee in reverential awe? O Isabella, where is your majesty, your beauty gone?" Thus then, he said within himself, end the greatness and the crowns of this world. I will therefore henceforth serve a master who can never die. From that moment, he consecrated himself to the love of Jesus crucified, and he made a vow to become a religious, should his wife die before him. This vow he afterwards fulfilled by entering into the Society of Jesus. Justly, then, has a person who was undeceived written on a skull these words, "Cogitinati viliscunt omnia." To him who reflects on death, everything in this world appears contemptible. He cannot love the earth. And why are there so many unhappy lovers in this world? It is because they do not think of death. O ye sons of men, how long will you be dull of heart? Why do you love vanity and seek after lying? Miserable children of Adam, says the Holy Ghost, why do you not chase away from your heart so many earthly affections, which make you love vanity and lies? What has happened to your forefathers must befall you. They have dwelt in the same palace which you inhabit, and have slept in your very bed, but now they are no more. Such too will be your lot. My brother, give yourself then to God before death comes upon you. Whatsoever thy hand is able to do, do it earnestly. What you can do today, defer not till tomorrow, for a day once past never returns, and tomorrow death may come and prevent you from evermore being able to do good. Detach yourself instantly from everything which removes or can remove you from God. Let us instantly renounce in affection the goods of this earth before death strips us of them by force. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Happy they who at death are already dead to all attachment to this world. They fear not, but desire death and embrace it with joy, for instead of separating them from the good which they love, it unites them to the supreme good, who is the sole object of their affections, and who will render them happy for eternity. Affections and Prayers. My dear Redeemer, I thank thee for having waited for me. What should have become of me had I died when I was at the distance from thee? May thy mercy and patience, which I have experienced for so many years, be forever blessed. I thank thee for the light and grace with which thou dost now assist me. I did not then love thee, and I cared but little to be loved by thee. I now love thee with my whole heart, and nothing grieves me so much as the thought of having displeased so good a God. This sorrow tortures my soul, but it is a sweet torment because it gives me confidence that thou hast already pardoned me. O my sweet Savior, would that I had died 1,000 times before I sinned against thee. I tremble lest I should hereafter offend thee again. Ah, make me die the most painful of all deaths, rather than permit me evermore to lose thy grace. I have been once the slave of hell, but now I am thy servant, O God of my soul. Thou hast said that thou lovest those who love thee. I love thee, then I am thine, and thou art mine. I may lose thee at some future time, but the grace which I ask of thee is to take me out of life, rather than suffer me ever to lose thee again. Unasked, thou hast bestowed upon me so many graces. I cannot now fear that thou wilt not hear my prayer for the grace which I now implore. Do not permit me ever to lose thee. Give me thy love, and I desire nothing more. Mary, my hope, intercede for me. Consideration 3. Shortness of life. What is your life? It is a vapor, which appeareth for a little while. First point, death comes quickly. What is your life? It is like a vapor which is dissipated by a blast of wind and is seen no more. All know that they must die, but the delusion of many is that they imagine death as far off as if it were never to arrive. But Job tells us that the life of man is short. Man, born of a woman, living for a short time, who cometh forth like a flower and is destroyed. This truth the Lord commanded Isaiah to preach to the people. Cry, all flesh is grass. Indeed, the people is grass. The grass is withered, and the flower is fallen. The life of man is like the life of a blade of grass. Death comes, the grass is dried up. Behold, life ends, and the flower of all greatness and of all worldly goods falls off. My days, says Job, have been swifter than a post. Death runs to meet us more swiftly than a post, and we at every moment run towards death. Every step, every breath brings us nearer to our end. What I write, says Jerome, is so much taken away from life. During the time I write, I draw near to death. We all die, and like the waters that return no more, we fall into the earth. Behold how the stream flows to the sea, and the passing water never returns. Thus, my brother, your days pass by, and you approach death. Pleasures, amusements, pomps, praises, and acclamations pass away. And what remains? And only the grave remaineth for me. We shall be thrown into a grave, and there we shall remain to rot, stripped of all things. At the hour of death, the remembrance of the delights enjoyed and of all the honors acquired in this life will serve only to increase our pain and our diffidence of obtaining eternal salvation. Then the miserable worldling will say, "My house, my gardens, my fashionable furniture, my pictures, my garments will in a little time be no longer mine, and only the grave remaineth for me." Ah, at that hour, all earthly goods are viewed only with pain by those who have had an attachment for them, and this pain will serve only to increase the danger of their eternal salvation. For we see by experience that persons attached to the world wish at death to speak only of their sickness, of the physicians to be called to attend them, and of the remedies which may restore their health. When anyone speaks of the state of the soul, they soon grow weary and beg to be allowed repose. They complain of headache and say that it pains them to hear anyone speak. And if they sometimes answer, they are confused and know not what to say. It often happens that the confessor gives them absolution, not because he knows that they are disposed for the sacrament, but because it is dangerous to defer it. Such is the death of those who think but little of death. Affections and prayers. Ah, my God, and Lord of infinite majesty, I am ashamed to appear before thee. How often have I dishonored thee by preferring to thy grace a sordid pleasure, a little dust, the indulgence of anger, caprice, or vanity. I adore and kiss, O my Redeemer, thy holy wounds, which I have inflicted by my sins. But through these wounds I hope for pardon and salvation. Make me, O my Jesus, understand the great injury I have done thee in leaving thee, the fountain of every good, to drink putrid and poisoned waters. Of all the offenses I have given thee, nothing now remains but pain, remorse of conscience, and fruits for hell. Father, I am not worthy to be called thy child. My Father, do not cast me off. It is true that I no longer merit the grace which would make me thy child, but thou hast died to pardon me. Thou hast said, "Turn ye to me, and I will turn to you." I give up all that gratifies me. I renounce all the pleasures that the world can give me, and I turn to thee. Pardon me for the sake of the blood which has been shed for me. I repent with my whole heart of all the insults I have offered to thee. I repent, and I love thee above all things. I am not worthy to love thee, but thou dost not refuse the love of a heart that has once despised thee. Thou didst purposely abstain from taking me out of life when I was in sin, that I might love thee. I wish to love thee during the remainder of my life, and I wish to love nothing but thee. Assist me, Give me holy perseverance and thy holy love. Mary, my refuge, recommend me to Jesus Christ. Second point, the lighted candle at death. King Ezekiah said with tears, "My life is cut off as by a weaver. While I was yet beginning, he cut me off." Oh, how many have been overtaken and cut off by death while they were executing and arranging worldly projects devised with so much labor. By the light of the last candle, all things in this world, applause, diversions, pomps, and greatness, vanish. Great secret of death. It makes us see what the lovers of this world do not see. The most princely fortunes, the most exalted dignities, and the most superb triumphs lose all their splendor when viewed from the bed of death. The ideas that we have formed of certain false happiness are then changed into indignation against our own folly. The black and gloomy shade of death then covers and obscures every dignity, even that of kings and princes. At present, our passions make the goods of this earth appear different from what they are in reality. Death takes off the veil and makes them appear what they really are: smoke, dirt, vanity, and wretchedness. O God, of what use are riches, possessions, or kingdoms at death, when nothing remains but a wooden coffin and a simple garment barely sufficient to cover the body? Of what use are the honors when they all end in a funeral procession and pompous obsequies, which will be unprofitable to the soul if it be in hell? Of what use is beauty when after death nothing remains but worms, stench, and horror, and in the end a little fetid dust? "He hath made me," says Job, "as it were a byword of the people and an example before them." The rich man, the captain, the minister of state, dies. His death is the general topic of conversation. But if he has led a bad life, he will become a byword of the people and an example before them. As an instance of the vanity of the world, and even of the divine justice, he will serve for the admonition of others. After burial, his body will be mingled with the bodies of the poor. The small and the great are there. What profit has he derived from the beautiful structure of his body, which is now but a heap of worms? Of what use are the power and authority which he wielded, when his body is now left to rot in a grave, and his soul has, perhaps, been sent to burn in hell? Oh, what misery! To be the occasion of such reflection to others, and not to have made them for his own profit. Let us then persuade ourselves that the proper time for repairing the disorders of the soul is not the hour of death, but the time of health. Let us hasten to do now what we shall not be able to do at that hour. The time is short. Everything soon passes away and comes to an end. Let us therefore labor to employ all things for the attainment of eternal life. Affections and prayer. O God of my soul, O infinite goodness, have mercy on me, who have so grievously offended thee. I knew that in yielding to sin I should lose thy grace, and I have voluntarily lost it. Tell me what I must do in order to recover it. If thou wishest me to repent of my sins, behold, I repent of them with my whole heart. I wish to die of sorrow for them. If thou wishest me to hope for thy pardon, I hope for it through the merits of thy blood. If thou wishest me to love thee above all things, I give up all. I renounce all the pleasures and goods which the world can give me. I love thee above every good, O my most amiable Savior. If thou wishest me to ask thy graces, I beg two graces from thee. Do not permit me evermore to offend thee, and make me love thee. Treat me then as thou pleasest. Mary, my hope, obtain for me these two graces. Through thy intercession, I hope to obtain them. Third point, importance of the last moment. How great, then, the folly of those who, for the miserable and transitory delights of this short life, expose themselves to the danger of an unhappy death, and afterward of an unhappy eternity. Oh, how important is that last moment, that last gasp, the last closing of the scene. On it depends an eternity, either of all delights or of all torments, a life of eternal happiness or of everlasting woe. Let us consider that Jesus Christ submitted to a cruel and ignominious death in order to obtain for us the grace of a good death, that we may, at that last moment, die in the grace of God, is the reason why he gives us so many calls, so many lights, and admonishes us by so many threats. Anthesenus, though a pagan, being asked what was the greatest blessing which man could receive in this world, answered, "A good death." And what will a Christian say, who knows by faith that at the moment of death eternity begins, and that at that moment he lays hold of one of two wheels, which draws with it either eternal joy or everlasting torments? If there were two tickets in a lottery, on one of which might be written hell and on the other heaven, what care would you not take to draw that which would give you a right to paradise, and to avoid the other, by which you would win a place in hell? O God, how the hands of those unhappy men tremble, who are condemned to throw the die on which their life or death depends. How great will be your terror at the approach of that last hour, when you will say, "On this moment depends my life or death for eternity. On this depends whether I shall be forever happy or forever in despair." Saint Bernardine of Siena relates that at death a certain prince exclaimed with trembling and dismay, "Behold, I have so many kingdoms and palaces in this world, but if I die this night, I know not what apartment shall be assigned to me." Brother, if you believe that you must die, that there is an eternity, that you can die only once, and that if you then err, your error will be forever irreparable, why do you not resolve to begin at this moment to do all in your power to secure a good death? Saint Andrew Avellino said with trembling, "Who knows what will be my lot in the next life? Shall I be saved or damned?" The thought of the uncertainty of being damned or saved filled Saint Louis Bertrand with so much terror that he could not sleep during the night because of this thought which would suggest itself to him, "Who knows whether thou wilt be lost?" And will not you, who have committed so many sins, tremble? Oh, hasten to apply a remedy in time. Resolve to give yourself sincerely to God, and begin from this moment a life which at the hour of death will be to you a source not of affliction, but of consolation. Give yourself up to prayer, frequent the sacraments, avoid all dangerous occasions, and if necessary, leave the world. Secure to yourself eternal salvation, and be persuaded that to secure eternal life, no precaution can be too great. Affections and prayers. O my dear Savior, how great are my obligations to Thee! How hast Thou been able to bestow so many graces on so ungrateful a traitor as I have been? Thou hast created me, and in created me Thou didst see the injuries which I would commit against Thee. Thou didst redeem me by dying for me, and then, too, thou didst see the ingratitude which I would be guilty of toward thee. Being placed in the world, I turned my back upon thee by my sins. My soul was dead and rotten, and thou didst restore me to life. I was blind, and thou hast enlightened me. I had lost thee, and thou didst enable me to find thee. I was thy enemy, and thou hast made me thy friend. O God of mercy, make me feel the obligations which I owe Thee, and make me weep over the offenses which I have committed against Thee. Ah, take vengeance on me by giving me a great sorrow for my sins. Do not chastise me by the privation of Thy grace and love. O Eternal Father, I abhor and detest above all evils, the injuries I have done thee. Have mercy on me for the sake of Jesus Christ. Look at thy Son dead on the cross. May his blood flow upon me and wash my soul. O King of my heart, thy kingdom come. I am resolved to banish every affection which is not for thee. I love thee above all things. Come and reign in my soul with undivided sway. Grant that I may love thee and love nothing but thee. I desire to please thee to the utmost of my ability and to do thy will in all things during the remainder of my life. Bless, O my Father, this my desire, and grant me the grace to keep myself always united to thee. All my affections I consecrate to thee, and from this day forward I wish to belong to thee alone, my treasure, my peace, my hope, my love, my all. I hope for all graces through the merits of thy Son. Mary, my Queen and Mother, assist me by the intercession. Mother of God, pray for me. We will continue with the preparation for death. The works of St. Alphonsus Liguori on tape number 2. Please join us.